We're up to Perek Shlishi, the third chapter of Hilchos Tshuva. That's page Nun Gimel, side 2, in most of the standard Rambams. Halacha Aleph. Each and every person has good deeds and bad deeds. Misha Zechi Yosef Yisera Salamanos of Tzadik. Somebody who has more good deeds than bad is considered a righteous person. Misha Vanosov Yisera Sal Zechu Yosef Rosha. Someone who has more sins than good deeds is considered a wicked person. If he's half and half, he's an intermediate person. The same is true of a entire land. If the merit of its inhabitants were more than their sins, then it's considered a righteous country. If there are mostly sins, more than good deeds, then they are a wicked country. And the same is true of the entire world. If a person's sins are more than his good deeds, immediately he will die because of his bad deeds. As it says, because of your many sins. A country that has mostly sins will immediately be destroyed. As it says, Zakat Sodom v'Amora kiraba v'gomer. The cries of Sodom and Amora are great, and therefore it was destroyed. The same with the whole world. If they had more sins than good deeds, immediately they are destroyed. As it says, Hashem saw that the evil of man was great, and he destroyed the world with the flood. This weighing is not by the numbers of good deeds and bad deeds, but by how great they are, by their quality. A certain good deed may weigh as much as many bad deeds. As it says, Yan kininsabo davar tov. However, there was one good thing found in Avia, one of the sons of the kings of Yisrael. So for that one good thing, he was rewarded. On the other hand, there are certain sins that weigh as much as many good deeds. As the Pasuk says, one sin can destroy a lot of good things. It's weighed only in the knowledge of Hashem, who knows all things. He knows how to arrange the good deeds as opposed to the bad deeds. Now the Rambam, the Ravid says, Lo kamo shu sover, not like the Rambam says. The Rambam learns that when it says that on Rosh Hashanah the world is judged and the wicked are signed immediately to death, the Rambam learns this literally, that if you have mostly bad deeds, when you're judged in Rosh Hashanah, you die that year. The Ravid says, Enakin, it's not so. Yeshushon Chaim Harvey, there are some wicked people who live for a long time. And in Nechtam on the altar, when it says their fate is sealed immediately, it means, that they will not live as long as they should have. In other words, let's say he's a wicked person, he's judged that he's going to die. It doesn't mean necessarily he'll die that year. Maybe he should have lived to be 75, or lived to be 60, let's say. He could have a Zebi Yavamos. This is mainly discussed in Yavamos. So the argument between the Ravid and the Rambam is, if a person has mostly bad deeds, whether he will die, in fact, within that year, or whether he's judged to be punished, but it's not necessarily in that year. Halacha Gimel. Whoever feels bad about the good deeds that he does, that he did. Yama believe when he says to himself, Mahalalti basiyasan, what did I gain by doing them? Halavai lo asisiyasan, I wish I wouldn't have done them. Reza ibiris kulan, he ruins all of his good deeds. And no merit is mentioned to him at all in the world. It says, the righteousness of the righteous person will not save him when he does wickedness. This is referring to somebody who feels bad for the good deeds that he did. If he did good deeds and bad deeds, then the good counts against the bad. But if he doesn't care about his good deeds anymore, he regrets them, then it doesn't help him. And just as a person's good deeds and bad deeds are weighed when he dies to determine what happens to him after his death, so in the same way, each year, all of the sins of everyone in the world is weighed in Zechu Yosef against his good deeds, on the holiday of Rosh Hashanah. Mishnim tzadik neftan l'chayim. Somebody who is found to be righteous is signed for life. Mishnim tzarosh neftan l'misa. Someone found to be wicked is signed for death. V'bein nitolan also at Yom Kippur. Someone who's half and half, he's suspended until Yom Kippur. Imasa tshuva neftan l'chayim. If he does tshuva, he is signed for life. V'imlav, if he doesn't do tshuva, he remains with half and half. Neftan l'misa, he's signed for death. Now it's interesting to note that the Lacha Mishnah, since it says here, after discussing that people are judged when they die, that they're also judged in Rosh Hashanah, so the Lacha Mishnah says that the previous paragraphs were talking about not whether he's judged to live or die, as we interpreted it in the simple sense until now, but what his fate will be in the world to come. In other words, according to the Lacha Mishnah, what the Rambam said earlier, that if he's mostly wicked, he's judged to die, it means that in the world to come, he will suffer the punishment of Gehenna, the spiritual punishment to the world to come, and so on. Halacha Dalet. Af mishit ki shofar b'Rosh Hashanah gzeres hakasuv. Even though the sounding of the shofar b'Rosh Hashanah is a divine decree, remez yeshbo, there's also a hint that it teaches us, klomer, that it tells us. Uri yishena mishinaschem, wake up, you slumberers from your sleep. Those who are deeply asleep, wake up. Examine your deeds. Return in repentance. Remember your Creator. These are the people who forget the truth in the vanities of time. They spend all of their time in vanity and emptiness. That doesn't help and doesn't save. Look at yourselves. Improve your ways, malalechem, and your things that you do. Yazav kolechem nechem darko ra. Let each one of you forsake his evil way. Machshavta shel otov and his bad thoughts. Fikach tzarach alam shiur atzmo kol hashelah kula kilo chetziv zake v'chetziv chayev. All year round, a person should think that he's half and half, half good, half bad. V'chein kol olam chetziv zake v'chetziv chayev. The whole world is half good and half bad. Chot. If he does one sin, one extra sin might turn him over to the side of evil and cause destruction for him and for the whole world. If he did one mitzvah, perhaps that will weigh the whole himself and the whole world to the side of merit. He caused for himself and for them deliverance and being saved. As it says, a righteous man is the foundation of the whole world. This is someone who is righteous and weighed on favor of the whole world for the merit in order to save the whole world. For this reason, since we're being judged on Rosh Hashanah and we want to increase our merit, it's the custom of all Jews to give a lot of charity, to do a lot of good deeds, to do many mitzvahs from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, more than the whole year. It's customary for everyone to get up at night in these 10 days, and to pray in the synagogues, with words of supplication, and with heartfelt words, heartfelt prayers, until the morning. Lachahei is a difficult one. There are some apparent contradictions between what the Rambam says in Hay and what he said earlier in this chapter. I'm going to interpret Halacha Hay according to the Kesef Mishnah's interpretation. And I'll point out the contradiction that is thus resolved. When a person's sins are being weighed with his good deeds. Now the Kesef Mishnah says that the Rambam is talking about not the judgment of Rosh Hashanah, but the ultimate judgment after death, when it is decided what the fate of the individual should be. Should he enter Olam Haba? Should he enter Gan Eden? Or should he have to undergo certain punishments? When a person's reckoning is made, in Mechashven Olav Ovon Shechatabo Tchilav Losheni, the first two sins don't count. Now, we start counting from the third sin onward. In Nimtzov and Osov Mishli Shevielach Merubin Al Zechu Yosav, if we find from his third sin onward more sins than mitzvahs, also b'shtei avonos mitzvah, and then we add the other first two, But Dan and also al akol, and he's judged for everything. If we find that the mitzvahs and the averis are equal, not the first two sins, they're not counted from the third sin onward. Mavirin kalavanos of rishon rishon. We remove all of the sins one at a time. Because the third one is counted as the first one, because the first two already don't count, they were forgiven. So each individual sin is forgiven as it comes along. The fourth one is also the first one, because the third one has been forgiven already. And so till the end. Now, according to this, if you're half and half, your sin is forgiven. And that contradicts what the Rambam said earlier, that in Rosh Hashanah, if you're half and half, and you don't do tshuva, then you're judged for death. And this is the one of the reasons that the Kesef Mishnah interprets this as referring to the judgment in the world to come. So if you're half and half, not counting the first two, then you're judged as innocent. The Medra Memoriam, when does this apply? Be yachid, by an individual. Shenema, as it says, Hein kalela yifal keel pom shaloshim gever. Hashem does all of this with two times or three times with a person. From here we learn out that the first two times he forgives you, and then he starts from the third time onward. Avalat tzibur tolon en avon rishon sheni u'shlishi. With the congregation, they suspend the judgment on them for the first, second, and third sin. They get an extra free sin. Not free, really, but that it's not counted in the beginning. Shenem, as it says, Ashlosha pishi Yisrael, the Israelites have sinned three times, v'al-arba lo ashivenu, and for the fourth one I will not return. They'll be punished for that. When they start counting for them in this manner, they start from the fourth one onward. Now, according to the Kesef Mishnah, this is somewhat difficult, because he's forced to say that the judgment of the Tzibur is a collective judgment. The collective judgment of the Tzibur refers not to whether they should live or die in Rosh Hashanah, but to their fate as a collective congregation in the world to come. But that's how he learns it. Now, if the moderate person who winds up with 50-50, but if one of these sins was that he never in his life put on tefillin, then he's not found innocent as in the previous case, but he's judged according to his sin. He's punished in the world to come, but he does have a share in the world to come afterwards. Similarly, the wicked people who have more sins than mitzvahs, they are also judged and punished in the world to come. If you learn, like the Kesef Mishnah, that this is referring to the world to come. But after their punishment, or punishment in Gehenna, then they have a share in the world to come. Because all of Israel has a share in the world to come, even though they sinned. Shenemar, as it says, V'amech kulam tzadikim l'olam yishoretz. Your people are all tzadikim, righteous, and they will forever inherit the earth. Eretz zu, mashal. When it says earth here, it's a parable. Klomer, it means Eretz achayim, the land of life, l'olam haba, that is the world to come. Now the Ravid argues, he says, Zem le'irvu shumarv v'advarm zeh b'zeh. He says that the Rambam is mixing different interpretations of the Gemara together, medamo b'daito she'nachadim, and making one out of them. Mizav and Ephraimia, they're actually separate. Fisherab Rosh Hashanah, he sees interacted Rosh Hashanah, Rav Chesed, Matik Klape Chesed. That Hashem is very compassionate, leaning towards kindness. The Tonin Ve Rav Yishmael, Mav Rishim Rishon, Vekachi Amida, to which Rav Yishmael explains that each sin individually is forgiven, and that is the divine measure. Rav Yoma, that the Rambam so interacted Yoma, Rav Yossi, Rav Yehuda, Amar Adam, Chotapa Mishonah, Shnir, Shlishas, Mochlan Lo. Rav Yisai Mochlan Lo, a person sins one, two, and three times, he's forgiven, but not the fourth time. Some of the Rambam thought that they were two, and that they contradict, that they were one thing, and they contradicted each other. Here it says he forgives the first and the second, and here it says he forgives the first, second, and third. But really, then the Ravid argues that they are really far from one another. They're not talking about the same thing. And the Rambam resolves this by saying one is an individual and one is a collective sin. The Ravid says the Hidra Bishmal Huli Yom Adin Agadol Ulhatzla Benin Megehenim. The one of Rabbi Shmuel that says the first one disappear means that to save the moderate people from going to Gehenna after they die on the great judgment day, which may be referring either to the spiritual Gan Eden and Gehenna, or to the time of the resurrection of the dead, when there is reward and punishment given out. So then those sins are forgiven. The first two don't count, so that they should not have mostly sins. Which is also the view of Beis Hillel. There is not talking about forgiving all of the sins, just how he's considered, how many you count, to decide whether we should go to Gehenna or not. The one of Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, that says he's forgiven for the first three times is talking in this world. But chilas ma'isav shel adam mimei oncho. It's talking about the beginning, when a person first becomes old enough to be liable to punishment, the yelech. The first three sins that he happens to do, masmem tshuva, provided that he does tshuva, even if these first three sins happen to be very strict, that ordinarily would need suffering in Yom Kippur to atone for, the first three, he's given a break, and even though he has to do tshuva, but he doesn't have to suffer because they're totally forgiven. This is how the principle of this matter should be understood. There's no distinction between an individual and a congregation. I don't know from where the Rambam found it. As the Kesef Mishnah points out, in fact, the version in our Gemara does support the Rambam's view, where it does make a distinction between an individual and a congregation, and apparently the Ravid's version was somewhat different, and that's why one of the reasons he disagreed with the Rambam. The last line of this paragraph reads, V'chein chasidu m'sa'olam yeshtam chelet l'olam abo, that the pious ones of the nations of the world also have a share in the world to come. The following do not have a share in the world to come. They are cut off and destroyed and judged for their great wickedness and sin forever and ever. Now the Rambam is going to list these, and he's going to explain in the following halachas each one of them. Haminim, the heretics, apikarsim, the non-believers, vakofrim b'torah, those that deny the Torah, vakofrim b'tchias amesim, those that deny the resurrection of the dead, v'bias ha'goel and the coming of Mashiach, hamardim, those that rebel, umachtia rabim, those that cause the many to sin, v'parshim b'dachet tzibur, those that separate themselves from the ways of the congregation, v'osaveris b'yadrama, those who do sins openly, before Hesia, in public, for Yochum, like the King Yehoyakim, for Mosrim, those that inform, Matileim al Hatzibur, Shalol Hashem Shemayim, those that cause terror to descend upon the congregation, not for the sake of heaven, for Shofchei Damim and murderers, Ubala Lashnara and masters of speaking ill, of evil tongue, for Moshe Choloso, a one who pulls the foreskin so as to appear to be non circumcised. And the Rabbi will explain these now. There are five categories known as a min, a heretic. Someone says there is no God and no leader of the world. Secondly, someone who agrees that there is a God, but there are two or more. Third, someone who says there is one God, but he has a body and he has an image. Fourth, and someone says that he is not the first one alone who formed all things, but that there were other things that existed which were there before Hashem created them. And fifthly, if someone serves a star or a constellation or anything else, to be an intermediary between himself and the master of the world, between God, all of these five are considered a heretic. Now the Rambam argues, and he says, "V'lama karl hazamin? Why did he call the person who believes that God has a body a heretic? Okama gedolim v'tovim mimeno halchu b'zul machshava. Many people who are greater and better than the Rambam thought that God had a body. V'fimashrava mikros, according to what they saw in the anthropomorphic meaning of the scripture. V'yosim mashrava divrei agadus hamishabshus hasadeus, even more in the agadic teachings, which can really mix a person up, since it uses such anthropomorphism. Now the Ravid writes elsewhere very strongly that of course God has no body, and it's very wrong to think that way. But he's saying that we don't consider someone who makes that mistake due to his misreading of biblical or Talmudic texts, we don't consider such a person a heretic. The writer makes a second point. He's really explaining when the Rambam said that one of the minim is someone who says that God is not the first and former of all things. He explains, Ka'osu Shamar Like someone who said, your God is a great artist. He found good ingredients. Tohu, vohu, the desolation of the beginning, choshech, the darkness, mayim, water, ruach, wind. So with them he did what he did. So he's explaining that this category means somebody who doesn't believe in two gods. He believes in only one God, but he believes that the elements of the world were pre-existent or coexistent with God, and God merely formed them and changed them. Halacha ches. Shloshen and Nekom Apakursim, the three categories known as Apakursim, the non-believers. Almashin Shem Nevoa Klal, someone who says there's no such thing as prophecy. Ven Shem Madash Shem Agiyab Mirbar Lele B'nei Adam. There's no communication where God, the Creator, speaks to the hearts of man. Secondly, V'makash Nevoa Sa Shem Moshe B'nei, he who denies the prophecy of Moshe. Thirdly, V'amashin Abar Yudea Maas B'nei Adam, someone who denies that God knows what people do. Each of these three categories are called apokursim. Shloshin are called from the Torah, the three types that deny the Torah. Omrishin atar miyim Hashem. Afilu pasuk echad afilu teva achas. Imamar Moshe Amram v'piatzma reza kofar b'Torah. One who denies that the Torah comes from God, even one sentence, even one word, if he says that Moshe said it on his own, then he's really denying the whole Torah. Chenekofar b'pirusha, someone who denies the interpretation of the Torah. V'Torah shabapel, which is the oral Torah. V'makish magideha, and he denies those who explain the Torah, the sages. Kigon tzaduk u'baisus, like the tzaduk and baisus who formed the various sects in the Second Temple. And thirdly, v'alma shabar hichlif mitzvah zuba mitzvah cheres, one who says that God exchanged one mitzvah for another. Kvabat l'tara zun, the Torah is no longer in effect, af bishi ha'isa mim Hashem, even though it originated from God. Kigon ahagrim, this probably should read anotzim, like the Christians. Kol echad mishlashelo kofar b'Torah, each of these three are denying the Torah. To say that God changed the Torah is really a denial of the Torah. Halacha tesh, shnayim hem amumrim Yisrael. There are two who are called a mumar, an apostate of Israel. A mumar laver achas, if someone is a mumar, an apostate, but only for one sin. And the second category is a mumar l'chol ha-Torah kula, one who's an apostate for the entire Torah. Now the first one is mumar laver achas, he's an apostate for one sin. Zeh she'etzik atzmo la'asos o'saver b'zadon, he's used to doing a certain sin purposely. V'horgel v'nesparsim ba, he's used to it, and he's well known to do it. Afilas minakalas, even a lighter avera. V'nesh'hulzik tamad l'b'shaknis, like he always wears shaknis, the forbidden wool and linen mixture, or he always cuts off the payas of the head. V'nimzik il'abot l'mitzvah min olam, he's acting as if this mitzvah doesn't exist anymore. That's not by him. Reza mumar also dover, v'ushias l'achas, he's considered an apostate for that one thing, provided that he does it l'achas, not out of any gain that he gets out of it, but just because he doesn't believe it, and he wants to fight it. Mumar chol ha-Torah kula, what is a apostate for the whole Torah? K'gon achosam adosi abdu k'chav, those people who join the religions of the idolaters, the shoshe goes in gzera when they make a decree, the yidbuk behemi connects himself with them. The Yomri says, ma betz alil adav b'Yisrael, what's the point of connecting myself with Israel? Shem shvelim v'nadafim, they're low and persecuted. Tov yishevik be'elu shevim t'kip, it's better that I connect myself with these people who have a strong hand. He's a mumar chol ha-Torah kula, he's an apostate for the entire Torah. And the Ravid says, if he turns to the religion of the idolaters, then why call him a mumar? He is a min, because he believes in the other gods, he believes in idols, and that's already under the category of a min. Now the Kesef Mishnah answers this in various ways. One, it's possible that another religion is not idolatrous, and if you turn to another religion, even if it has no idolatry, you're still a mumar, you're still an apostate. Secondly, even if you don't believe in their idols, you just turn to them and act as if you were one of them, but you don't believe in the idolatry. So a min you're not, but a mumar you are. Halacha yud, machtia rabim ketzad, the category of those who causes the public to sin. How so? Echad shehichti b'davar gadol, whether he made people sin in a big thing. Then Yeravim, the tzaduk u'baisus, like Yeravim who instituted the golden calf, or tzaduk u'baisus who denied the oral Torah. Vech shehichti b'davar kal, or if he made people sin in a small thing. Afilu labatul mitzvah saseh, even if he stopped people from doing a positive commandment. Or somebody who forces others to sin. Like Menashe, who killed Jews until they worshipped idols. Or if he misled others and pushed them away. Yudalev, the next category, one separates himself from the congregation. Even if he's not actually doing any particular sin, he separated himself from Israel. He doesn't do mitzvahs together with the other Jews. He doesn't commiserate with their suffering, nor fast with their fasting. He goes on his way like one of the nations of the earth. In other words, he just cuts himself off from the Jewish people, even if he doesn't do any specific sins. He acts as if he's not a Jew. He doesn't have a share in the world to come. Another category, one who does sins openly and publicly. Like the king Yoakim. Whether he did small things or great things. He has no share in the world to come. This is called someone revealing a face in Torah. Because he's brazen, the gilapanov, he showed his face, labush, he's not ashamed of retire from the words of the Torah. The two kinds of informers. So someone who informs on his friend to an idolater so that his friend gets killed or beaten. He gives his money of his friend into the hands of an idolater or into the hands of a robber of some sort that's considered like an idolater. Both of them do not have a share in the world to come. Those who put the fear on the congregation not for the sake of heaven. He rules harshly over the congregation. The congregation is afraid of them. His intention is to honor himself. And all that he does is not for the honor of heaven. Like, as is the custom of the heathen kings. Each of the 24 people who we counted, even though they're Jewish, they have no share in the world to come. There are lighter sins. Nevertheless, the sages say, if you're used to them, you lose your share in the world to come. You have to keep far away and be careful with them. These are them. Someone who gives a nickname to his friend, or he calls to him with a derogatory nickname. Someone who publicly embarrasses his friend. Someone who gets honor at the expense, at the humiliation of his friend. Someone who is disrespectful to the sages. Someone disrespectful to his teachers. Someone disrespectful to the holidays. Someone who desecrates the sacrifices. The Medrash, when do all of the laws here apply? That each of these loses a share of the world to come. If he dies without doing tshuva. If he repents and dies, he's about tshuva. He goes to the world to come. Nothing stands in the way of repentance. Even if he denied God all of his life. At the end he repented. He has a share of the world to come. As it says, shalom, shalom, rachuk lokar. Peace, peace, to the far and to the near. Amar Hashem. Hashem says, Rufasiv, and I have cured him. He's accepted through his tshuva. Kol Hashem, v'murim u'kiyotzebhen. All of the wicked people and ones like them. Shechazu b'tshuva, were repented. Bein begila, bein b'matmanios. Either public repentance or private repentance. The kabbalos, and they're accepted. As it says, shuva bonim shuvavim, return wild shuva. Av b'shadayin shuvav hu, even though he's still wild. Shuva b'seisha shuva, because he's repenting only privately, below begilu, not publicly, but kablanos of b'tshuva, he is accepted, and his repentance is valid. So the Rambam concludes the chapter by saying, even for the greatest sin, repentance is accepted, even if the person never had a chance to publicly repent, just between him and God, that is accepted, and the person merits, and can merit, a share in the world to come.